Yeah, we thank you for opening the book of Hebrews to all of us.
Yes.
Pray that it will not just be some knowledge of the Bible.
Amen.
But that it will be written in our hearts for us to experience day by day.
Amen.
And learn to put our whole trust in you.
Amen.
Because you are the Son of God.
Amen.
And God speaks today in and through you.
Amen.
You're higher than anybody and everybody else.
Amen.
And you're the captain of our salvation.
Amen.
You are our wonderful brethren. Brother, the firstborn from among the dead.
Amen.
And even more so, our great and wonderful high priest.
Amen.
You are our unique leader, the head over all things to the church.
Yes.
Help us to realize that no one can replace you.
Yes.
And no one is able to help us and lead us into glory.
Amen.
Except you.
Amen.
Yes.
We don't want to see anything else or anyone else. We want to see Jesus.
Amen.
We want to turn our eyes from anything else but to you.
Amen.
Forgive us for considering so many other things.
Oh,
and not coming to you.
Amen.
We do repent.
Amen.
We pray that you would truly open our eyes and give us such a heavenly view and vision.
Amen.
And that truly we will become those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes.
Amen.
Pray that we will know the truth perfectly.
Amen.
Not distorted views.
Amen.
Not our own interpretation. And not strange teachings and various doctrines that will lead us astray.
Amen.
Pray that our hearts will be established.
Amen.
We will come to full maturity.
Yes.
And made complete and perfect by the perfect one.
Amen.
Which is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we pray that this conference will really help us.
Amen.
To go on. And as the word said, we have no continuing city.
Amen.
Because no man can finish the job by himself or using men's hands or anything of this creation.
Amen.
We always fall short.
Yes.
We are looking for the coming heavenly city.
Amen.
Yeah, may our great high priest, the unique one, according to the order of Melchizedek, help us.
Amen.
To reach the goal.
Amen.
Pray you would bless all the saints.
Amen.
Because you're the greater one.
Amen.
We are the lesser one. We need your blessing.
Amen.
We pray you would bless everyone.
Amen.
Not for our sake, but for the fulfillment of God's divine purpose.
Amen.
Give us such a view.
Amen.
Be merciful to us.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this is the end of the conference. Not the end of everything. Praise God. There are so many things to be said. Like Paul said, there are so many things to be said concerning the focus, the main thing. And the book of Hebrews is just talking about the main thing. If you missed it, you missed everything. It's amazing how the writer of the Hebrews, although he said he has many things to say, but hard to explain, he did it in such a short way. And in his own word, he says, in a few words, course, the few words may refer to his exhortation at the very end of chapter 13. But in contrary to us, we have nothing to say, but we say a lot with many, many, many words. But the writer has much to say, but he compacted into 30 chapters. we can write 13 books. And it cannot be compared to the book of Hebrews. Right. We made short things long, but the writer of the Hebrews make things compact. 中国人说长话短说，我们是无话，但是长说。 Right. Anyway, sorry. Don't worry about it. It's not important. It's not about Hebrews, so forget about it. Yeah. And we said a lot of nonsense, unfortunately. Well, first of all, since we're in chapter 13, one brother asked me this morning to explain a few verses concerning the elders. Because Paul mentioned three times concerning the elders. First thing I'd like to let you know is the word rule. Actually, it means to take the lead. You cannot just use that word rule. Why people use the word rule instead of lead? Because people like to rule. Don't you? To rule is very simple. Do this. Don't do that. Stop. Go. Serve. Right? You take care of this. You take care of that. And you take care of that. And I just sit there and watch. Wonderful. I'm ruling. That means I let everybody do anything and everything. I don't do anything. I just sit on my ruling chair, my throne. So to take the lead is to do everything. To be an example of the flock, like Peter said. You cannot just tell people to go and you don't do it. Go, preach the gospel. I never preach the gospel. No, that is not leading. Leading means you become an example of the flock. If I want you to do something, I have to show you how to do it. And I have to do it myself. When the Lord Jesus came to this earth trying to perfect his disciples, he didn't perfect them like a professor. He perfected them by doing exactly what he told them to do. Right. The Lord taught them to wash other people's feet by washing their feet. Right? The Lord wanted to show them love, and the Lord demonstrated that love. He went to the cross for them. No greater love is there than that one laid down his soul life. Right. Oh, Lord. That's why I appreciate the word this morning, because it's so practical. And so the elders are not supposed to rule us the way you understand the word rule. No, no. But that you lead. It's not easy to lead, because you have to know what you're doing. And how can you lead me to glory? Oh, Mucho, you're a wonderful brother. Lead me to glory. I'll give you that honor. Lead me to glory.
I have to know.
Yeah, but you do know, right? Well, you know the Bible, you gave us a good message this morning. So I trust in you. Lead me to glory. How about that? Would you like to lead me to glory?
I can lead you to the one who can lead you to glory.
Praise the Lord, you got it. Now, who is that one, the elder?
The great high priest.
But I'm his assistant. He's not available right now, but I'm not available. Well, if you believe that, you should ask me, are you in glory now? I'm not. If I'm not, I cannot lead you there. I can only lead you there if I'm there. And the Lord is only the one who went through sufferings and death on the cross and come up in the resurrection. And then, Hebrews tells us, and he passed through the heavens and even went to a place higher than the heavens, and now sitting today at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is the one that can lead you there. You want to be raptured? Yes. Follow me. You're going to follow me. It says, be submissive. Follow me. Rebellious. No wonder people kicked you out. Now, who can lead you there? After reading through the book of Hebrews, you should now fully realize that there is only one that can truly help us, and that can truly sanctify us, and truly lead us into glory, and nobody else. Because he is there now, so he can take you there. Yeah, I can only take you here. Well, you can do that as well, right? Because you're here now. You can show anybody where the meeting hall is. That's as far as you can lead people to. May the Lord have mercy on us. So, the word rule there means to lead. Because Peter, who was also a co-elder, says, don't rule over the flock of God. Don't be a king. You like to read it? Let's read it. Let's read it. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders who are among you, I exhort. Well, they need exhortation. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God. That means you have to feed, give them life. The Lord leads us to the green pasture, right? You know Psalm 23 very well. Not to Disneyland, don't lead them to Disneyland. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, ruling over them, is it? What does it say? Serving. Serving as a slave. As overseers, not by compulsion. Don't force yourself to do it. If somebody is not capable, don't appoint them, please. Right? No. praise the Lord. Right? Willingly. Some said, according to God. Not for dishonest gain. Don't try to expect any gain. What are the gain? Is it just monetary gain? No. Recognition, honor, position. That's also a gain. Yeah. Not for this honest gain, but eagerly. Not as being what?
Lords.
Lords. Or lording over them, being a master. Are you the master of the house? The ruler of the church, master of the house. Whose house is it? The house of the Lord.
Amen.
Whoa, if you think you're the master, you are the ruler, don't do that. It's ugly. It's very ugly. Over those entrusted to you, but being examples. Wow, examples. Don't be hypocritical, okay? Don't be smiling all the time and nobody sees you, your face change. No. Be what you are. Genuine. Don't learn from Hollywood. Don't pretend. Otherwise you have two faces. It's not good. No. Then you have to remember, and when the chief shepherd appears, if you lead well, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Now, let me tell you. Of course, Peter said it in a positive way. He did not mention, but if you are unfaithful, you are going to what? You're going to receive punishment more severe than anybody else. That is why James, you have to go to James. James says, don't you all want to be teachers? Why? He didn't say because you don't know the Bible. George, what was the reason that James said? Why? Because you teach wrongly? Of course, that too, right? It would be terrible if I teach wrong. What if I teach correctly? That was what James says. Because you teach others, but you yourself, you don't do it. So you are going to have worse and more severe judgment. I don't know why people like to teach. And many times they teach nonsense. You think everybody can teach? Yeah? Let's appoint Emmanuel the teachers. Ah. Why not? New Testament says, and they all know God, from the least to the greatest. So, I can misuse the Bible. I can twist everything. I can do all things according to my concept. And the elders are untouchable, right? Untouchable. Mm-hmm. Nobody can say anything to them, right? Are they untouchable? How do I know? How are you going to prove to me that the elders are untouchable? Or not untouchable? Come. Help me. In Timothy, what chapter? You're looking now, right? Search. Yeah, help me, search. Chapter 5. 17. Okay. Now we got it.
First, yeah.
Chapter 5, verse 17. No.
Yeah.
19.
19.
But 17 is positive. The elders who lead well. Right? Especially who labor in the word and the teaching. You have to labor. You don't labor. How do you labor? That's something else. We need another meeting to talk about that. Do not receive an accusation against elders. Punct. Period. Right? It's written, do not receive an accusation against an elder. Period. No period? No period? Why not? They are infallible. Untouchable. Perfect.
Especially when they're all one.
Oh, and especially when they're all one. Perfect. Period. Not even a comma.
There's no comma.
There's no comma. There's no need of a comma. You just keep on reading it. Don't put anything there. Don't add to it, please. Except from two or three witnesses. My, you have how many witnesses? And true witnesses, not false witnesses, okay? Because, the Pharisees, Sadducees, chief priests, elders, priests, high priests, they all look for and fabricated false witnesses against the Lord Jesus Christ. You can twist the word. The Lord Jesus, I really heard it, he is going to destroy the temple. Did the Lord say that? Yes, he did say, destroy this temple. So, you're a witness, right? Are you a witness?
Sure.
The Lord says he is going to destroy the temple. Do you believe that? But I will raise it up in 3 days. What is it? How come they didn't say that? And which temple is he talking about?
Temple of his body.
But they don't understand what the Lord was saying. They twist the word. Right. And they lied. Because they want to kill the Lord. And the Lord asked them, why do you want to kill me? What do they say? You have a devil. Who wants to kill you? They even lied. You think they will not lie? So don't think that the elders are perfect, untouchable, infallible like the Pope. And nobody can say any accusation against them. Don't listen to accusation. Be submissive, the Bible says. No. You're twisting the word. You're twisting the word. Except from two or three witnesses. And those who are sinning, that means the elders who sin, rebuke in the presence of all. If Brother Chan is not an elder and he sinned, you should not make him public, okay? Just tell, help him, Brother Chan. Repent, drop it, forget him. But because you are an elder and you sinned, must be rebuked before everybody, so that the other elders, your co-elders, will be afraid and will not do the same thing. Otherwise, not only the elders there who will do the same thing, all the other elders will, in other churches and other places, will do the same thing. So you still want to be an elder, George?
I never wanted.
I know this guy wants, right?
You're mistaken.
Am I mistaken? Oh, some other people didn't think so. The Lord knows exactly. So many crazy things. We need to stick to the truth in a way. So, I charge you before God, and Paul was really very, very, very serious about it. It was a charge, and it was before God. Unmistakably clear. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in the elect angels, that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing without partiality. How about that?
Bias.
With a bias. Yeah. How about you? How about us? I appreciate the word and brotherly love. Our brotherly love is a biasly love. You love what you want to love. And your love is full of prejudice. Partiality. Taking side. Untruthful. Like our brother said, without light. You just believe blindly. Follow blindly. Don't do that. That's not brotherly love. Remember our big brother? Christ is the firstborn. We are the many brethren. Only Amen. He has the true brotherly love. So you really need to know what Peter said. And what Paul said, chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, faithful is the same. If a man desires, it says, position of a bishop. Position of a bishop. It's not a position. It says the work of an overseer. It is not a matter of position here. Bishop is to take an oversight. You know, you want to be a CEO, George? Oh, we'll put you as a CEO of Apple. How about that? Wonderful position.
Not capable.
You have to be capable. And don't try to lust after a position. You need to know where you are. You know, to take oversight isn't that easy. It's like a ship. You take care of the sheep by feeding them. He desires a good work. This is a good work. But you must be blameless. Oh my goodness, are you blameless? If you want to be an elder. Blameless. Of course, husband of one wife, everybody knows, but temperate. Are you temperate? Sober-minded. Of good behavior. hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy, gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. So many qualifications. Because, it's the matter of your humanity, the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the Lord is the real good shepherd. And he's the chief shepherd. He's the unique example. So many different points. So, let's come back to Hebrews chapter 13, because brother was asking me concerning those points, and it's legitimate. I think it's a good question. Remember those who lead over you. Now, we have a rendering here in the outline. Is that now? Yeah. Where am I now?
11.
Oh, I'm in. Okay. H11. Yeah, sorry. Be mindful of those leading. Remember. They use the word remember. You're going to remember the elders all the time? Definitely not. That is not what it really means. I should remember Muchang all the time. That's not good. Do you remember Obama every day? Every day you remember Obama? You think about Obama every day? No. But be mindful. That means observe how they're doing. Don't be naive. Be mindful. Because you don't know. You don't know when they're at home. You don't know what is behind the scene. If I just remember the Pharisees and the scribes, and every time I see them, wow, they are so holy. Good day. To be seen by people. But if you don't see them, the wolf nature came up. That's why the Lord says you're a hypocrite. Be mindful. That means you should be mature. In other words, what our brother says, you should be discerning. Right. Those who have spoken the word of God, now you need to also discern. To see if what was spoken is correct. Suppose I tell you, we should not say we want to be Philadelphia. You know Philadelphia, the seven churches. But you know, we should say we are Thyatira. Right? You like to be Thyatira? Yes, but John so said we should be like Thyatira. And Thyatira is a normal church. And God is overall very satisfied, happy with the church in Thyatira. Would you believe me? Well, Peter? John? You? George? Maybe
Sarah, because I'm the grandpa.
Grandpa, yeah.
No.
Who are you? You're my granddaughter. You should believe your grandpa.
I believe my father. Oh my goodness, he is a higher father. He is right, my heavenly father. Let me read to you a verse. Let's all go to chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, okay, the law, right, can never with the same sacrifices which they, the priests, offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. Right? Clear? So, no sacrifice can make you perfect. Talking about offering sacrifices, the word says here, it will never make you perfect. How about that?
Read verse 4.
No, only read verse 1. You read verse 4, I read verse 1. So, you are offering sacrifices, it will never make you perfect. So forget about offering sacrifices. How about that, George? It's written, okay? Let me read it to you again. Can never with the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. Ah, you see? Offering sacrifices is useless. It will not make you perfect. Ah, how about that? Naomi, oh, you should agree with your papa, right? That's, my wife will agree. My sister will agree. Will any of you agree with me? Will you accept such a teaching? Tabea, of course. We are good friends. No. Toby, of course, Toby will agree. We have a special relationship, so people say. You right. Agree with me, right?
No.
He doesn't agree with me either. My goodness. I'm not going to ask my son-in-law because he's not also going to agree with me. If his wife, my daughter, doesn't agree, do you agree with me? At least please me for once. Why would you like to twist the word? Why don't you deserve? You can swallow that. It's up to you. You can swallow anything if you like.
Lord Jesus.
1 Corinthians chapter 14 says the prophets, two or three, should speak. Let the prophets speak, two or three, and let the rest say amen. Right? No? What does your Bible say?
It says, let the others judge.
Let the others judge. Why should I judge the prophet? They're a prophet. They should know what they're talking about, right? But you don't believe prophets can speak nonsense, eh?
They're also men.
Exactly. And there are many false ones. There are many false ones. But, like our brother said again, in order to judge, you have to be mature. If you're not mature, you swallow everything. And if you swallow everything, whose fault is it now? Whose fault is it? Your fault, exactly. It is your fault. Yeah. You want to swallow anything and everything. It's your fault. So, remember, the elders are not infallible. Right. And then you should consider the issue of their conduct. And the word there, considering, means you have to investigate, observe accurately. You observe accurately. And then imitate their faith, not anything else. There's nothing worthwhile to imitate. But you have to imitate their faith. Be submissive and obedient, of course, in a normal situation. If the elders are right, of course, you have to be submissive. What about if they're wrong? It's written, be submissive. So even if they're wrong, you're submissive. And that is what happened in 1986, 87. Everything was already wrong, but you have to submit. And what was the result? That's why in this outline it says, but now without discretion, under normal circumstances. As shepherds, they're supposed to watch over the souls, the spiritual condition of the saints, not to rule over them. And they are accountable at a judgment day. Yeah, you better remember that. If you are a responsible brother, but irresponsible, you are accountable. But that doesn't mean that those who follow blindly are not accountable. Because the Lord says the blind, leading the blind, and what? No, just the leaders fall into the pit. No? No? The blind followers will never fall into the pit. I've seen too many. The whole flock fell into the pit. So may the Lord really open our eyes. And then why immediately after that he warned the saints concerning being carried away with various and strange doctrines? Because if the elders are wrong, my goodness, they are going to lead the whole flock into another direction. Only the Lord Jesus never changed. Right? Verse 8, between 7 and 9, this verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he does not need to change. Is perfect. But you and I, you can change. I know a lot of people change. Yeah. You cannot change? Oh, yeah. You don't change? You have to change, hopefully, for the better. Not for the worse. Maybe you don't like to hear this word, but hey, sorry. It is the truth. Right. Only the Lord Jesus Christ never changes. Leading ones may change and fall. I've seen that too often in the last 50 years. You cannot fool me, pull my legs, no. No, or lead me by my nose, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't have a big nose for you to lead and pull, you know. I'm not Pinocchio. Right? Do not be carried away. Now, who is going to carry you away in the church life? Tell me. Somebody out there from malice part will come and carry you away? No. It must be from the inside. It's an inside job. And who do you think is capable to do that kind of an inside job?
carrying people away with various and strange doctrines. That is why the apostle, the writer of the Hebrews, says our hearts must be established by grace, not by any religious Jewish practices as food washing and animal sacrifices and all kinds of religious practices which have no spiritual profit. And the next few verses is come out of the camp. Don't stay there. Oh Lord, and I have to come back for 5 minutes to tell you that the church is not just one city, one church. No, it's not that I'm against this concept and agreeing that a locality you can have all kinds of churches. No. After knowing me, you should know that I will never have that kind of a concept. But today I understand it much more so. Let me just give you an example. You know here in Fountain Valley? Right? John, are you in Fountain Valley here? Right? Why are you called a church assembly in Fountain Valley?
Because there's another group that took the name Church
of Fountain Valley. Another group that took the name. Not another group. There are two couples, specifically two brothers, who were so much against one city, one church, because they were so much offended by the LSM. And they live here in Fountain Valley, and to prevent that anyone takes over the ground of the church and build the church in Fountain Valley, they register the name so that nobody can use that name. Poor God. The Lord cannot build a church in Fountain Valley anymore because two guys to prevent that building of the church in Fountain Valley registered that name.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I don't know. Wow. You better move out of Fountain Valley. Say you cannot go to Huntington Beach. You cannot go to Irvine. Where can you go? And go to the sea and get a boat. The church by the sea. Not in the sea. At least on the sea. You know, in the sea, you won't live very long. Isn't that ridiculous? You tell me. Is that is now ridiculous or not? And then, on the other hand, by 1989, when I moved back to the United States, some people who are much for the local church, they're so afraid John Self is coming and is going to build the local church here, so they registered the name also in several places so that I cannot build the local church. Can you imagine that? Isn't that crazy?
It's too crazy.
One city, one church. Oh, sorry, the name was taken, the ground was taken. What are we going to do? Where should we go?
To a place without a church.
Where is that? The only place I know is the heavenly church. I go to heaven, then I can build the heavenly Jerusalem. Hallelujah. No problem. One city, one church. My goodness. That was so misused by so many people. You know, 60 years ago, we were the only one. Now, you're from Toronto.
Yes.
how many churches they are taking the ground of the church?
Five.
Which one is the real one? The first one, the second one, the third one? Which one are you? Are you the fourth or the fifth? Are you the seventh? Or? You're the fourth, so you're not the real one. You think I'm joking? I'm bleeding. I'm not joking. I'm bleeding because it was so misused and misunderstood and used as a ground to imprison the believers. Even if I'm wrong, you cannot leave because I'm the church. And God has to bless us because we are standing on the ground. Poor God, even if you're wrong, he has to bless you because you're standing on the ground. On which ground? Don't think I'm opposing. Don't think I changed. Not the way you think I changed. But fully today, I fully understand what it meant. Not according to what you understood. As a dead doctrine. Even you're dead wrong, but you're on the right ground. So God has to bless you and accept you as his church. Huh? Wow, poor God. Did not God told Sardis, you have a name. That you're alive, but you're dead. Oh, you have a name. Oh, you are the church. But you are practically, it is your church. It's your division. You are the one who is. You're already wrong there, and everybody has to believe in you. And because, why?
Ground.
Boundary. Look, one brother says, even if we are wrong, this is still the church. This is crazy. This is not a truth in the Bible. For us, we treasure the oneness, but not in just any kind of oneness. It is a oneness in truth, in life, in righteousness, in holiness. It is oneness with the triune God. There are many things we can say about it. But I don't want to keep you here. You know. I think just by mentioning this, I hope you have an ear here and you will understand what I'm talking about. And if you want to misunderstand, that's your problem. Okay? It's not my problem. But I speak what I have to speak. What the Lord wants me to speak.
Amen.
You like it? That's fine. I go, oh, John, your tone is wrong. I don't care if my tone is wrong or not. My wife always told me, John, your voice carries. And sorry. You care for my voice, but I care for the truth. Do you care for my voice or do you care for the truth? Even if my tone is wrong, if the truth is right, you still have to take it, right?
Exactly. Amen.
Oh, you're going to reject the truth because of my tone. What is more important, the tone or the truth? Then take the truth and forget about the tone.
That's right.
In Matthew chapter 23, have you ever read? What is it talking about? Whoa, 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 whoa. Why, the Lord didn't have a nice tone there. So don't read chapter 23 because the tone is wrong. Right? You generation of vipers. Oh, is that it? I don't care what tone you use. You, generation of vipers. That's a good tone, right? You, generation of vipers. Which tone is better? Huh? Does it matter?
Not really.
Whatever tone you said concerning generation of vipers, it's generation of vipers. Don't say, oh, you're saying that there's so-and-so a generation of vipers. No, I'm just talking about the tone and the truth, okay? Otherwise, your crooked mind will say, oh, John So is saying we are generation of vipers. No. I'm not referring to anyone. I'm just using it as an example concerning tone and truth. So, you all need to wake up.
Amen.
Be mature. Follow the Lamb.
Amen.
And he is the great high priest, nobody else. He's the captain, okay? If any little sergeant is wrong, you follow the captain. At least in the church, in the heavenly army, you'll follow the captain. You know, if in a company, the one on the phone is doing nonsense, tell them, I want to speak to the supervisor. You all have to say that, right? Isn't it true? Oh, you're Americans, right? somebody's talking nonsense. You cannot get through. Please, connect me to your supervisor. If an elder is wrong, please, connect me to your supervisor. I want to talk to the heavenly high priest. Show me the captain. Lead me to the captain. I'll talk to the captain. You're right. Lead him to the captain. We all need to do that.
Yes. Amen.